doing great singing tonight. You can go to have your seat and we'll have our special.
Jesus, feet were growing weary as he journeyed on his way. Then he rested at the well side, a comfort in the heat of day. There he waited for a woman, practicing and bound for hell. When she arrived, he plainly told her, what you need's not in the well. He's still waiting by the well, and he's holding out his hand. If you drink this living water, you won't have to thirst again. He's been waiting by the well side, knowing you'd be passing by. So take advantage of this moment. He's not gone, he's still waiting by the well. Are you tired of being thirsty? Even though you've had your fill of the water that the world gives, does it leave you longing still? Well, there's good news up at the well side. A woman's voice rings loud and clear. She says this man changed her forever, and if you need hope, you can find it here. He's still waiting by the well, and he's holding out his hand. If you drink this living water, you won't have to thirst again. He's been waiting by the well side, knowing you'd be passing by. So take advantage of this moment. He's not gone, he's still waiting by the well. He's not gone, he's still waiting by the well. He's not gone, he's still waiting by the well.
All right, we almost got everyone up here. Amen. I was watching a video my brother sent me before church, you watch a video that's gross and you have to show someone as a man. It's just the way it goes. And there was a family singing at his brother-in-law's church, and there was about eight of them or so singing, and the youngest one was at the end, and as the parents were singing, he started kind of doing this thing, and he just started throwing up. And the girls look at him, and they just keep going. And the parents didn't notice yet, but eventually they did notice, and they just kept singing. And people were going out to get something, and the guy was like, well, whatever. I was like, help your kid. And he was not going to leave. He just kept going. It was gross. So Brother Mike especially enjoyed that. So thank you for letting me share that with you. And maybe we'll show it after church. I'm not sure. I said, hopefully that wasn't like a sign of things to come, because I don't want that happening here, and you don't want that either. We're in Revelation 3, if you stand to your feet, as you find that, Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 7. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 7. As we look at these churches in Revelation, we're at the sixth church, the church in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And that's really where the title comes from here. But we're in Revelation 3, verse number 7. We'll read down to verse number 13, read the whole passage of this letter written to this actual literal church that was started. This was the youngest of the seven churches, but it was a church where where the Lord has nothing negative to say about this church. And this church, really, I've entitled the message, The Faithful Church. That's what we'd strive to be. Every other church has some have some good and some negative. This is the only church that has the only positives there. And maybe our testimony be a faithful church. And so in Revelation 3, verse 7, as you find that, I will read along together. The Bible says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will take them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, and I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the night and the blessing of getting to be in the house of God tonight. And thank you for the work that's been done today. Speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move on our hearts and in our midst. You promised your word would not return void. So may we have listening ears and may we be ready to respond as you speak. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This church at Philadelphia, as we mentioned, is this church where the Lord has nothing negative to say about this church. It usually has an introduction, as you see in verse number 7, and it talks about Jesus Christ. It says, "These things saith he that is holy." Look at this. "He that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth." And Jesus Christ gives the introduction here that he is holy, that he is true, that he opens the door and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. This is God's church. Amen. This is God's church. This is the house of God. This is not just a building. Amen. It's not just a building. It's not just a place where we have seats and rooms and lights and air conditioning and heat and all this stuff. This is the house of God. This is the house of God that God instituted the church that we get to be a part of. So many times I think we take church too lightly because we've been here so many times. We have our seats. We have our spot where we talk in the hallways or where we take our kids to class or where your kid has busted their head open on the corner of a door or in the nursery. And it becomes home to us. And I'm glad that it is a home. We're part of a church family. But may we never forget, this is the house of God. This is God's church that he instituted and that God started this church over 41 years ago, this church here. But the church of God will continue, the Bible says, that he started the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This is God's church. This is the house of God that we get to be a part of. May we never take it lightly that we get to come to church. This morning we were in Sunday school and a few people came in late, which is not very unusual, other than some came in late and said we were stuck behind a train for 15 or 20 minutes and we couldn't get to church. You know, in Reading, you live on one side of the tracks or the other, and that may depend if you make it to church or school on time at times, and you got to figure out your way to get around it. But may we never take it lightly that we get to come to church today. Amen? That the doors are open, that the gospel being preached, that buses are running, that the work of God continues, and also that we get to be a part of the work of God. Amen? That you have the health, the strength that some did not have to come to church today. That some that wanted to be here would long to be here and couldn't. That we get to come to church. May we never take it lightly. We get to come to church. That we get to serve, to get to be a part of the work of God. This is God's church. As we look at this church, the Bible says in verse number 8, as he continues on from a thought from verse number 7, and it says here that God says, "I know thy works." And we could seem to play a part for men to see, for people to come and to do the works of the church. And you may think, well, no one knows, no one sees, no one knows my heart. Well, God does. And we'll get back to that point in a little bit. I'm not coming to church for me. I'm coming to church for God. May we have that holiness about our hearts and our minds, that we're coming into a holy place, a church where God has instituted and allowed us to have a church here in Redding, California, and where the Word of God is still being preached, the gospel is still being preached, and it is God's work. And God says here, I know thy works. You may think, well, no one knows what I do or don't do. God does. Amen? God does. Everything you do or don't, God knows and God sees, and he says, I know thy works. God knows how you treated that person today, how you helped them. You looked out for the visitors that came in this morning. One of our bus kids, their dad came this morning. He got saved at the end of the morning service. And you get a different view up here on the platform, for good or for bad or indifferent, but you get to see people that come and you think, well, they're a visitor. I think they're a visitor. They're singing. God's working on their heart. They're not liking this part, you know, and you get a different view up here. And people running by out front. But it's the work of God that we get to be a part of every week. Don't take it for granted. It's not just another Sunday. You say, well, it's not a big day. To me, every Sunday is a big day. This is a day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And God set aside that first day of the week for us to come together as a church. May it not just be ho-hum, we get to come and sit through church and nod off and eat your potato chips in the back row or whatever you do. We get to come to church. And God said, I know thy works. You say, I don't really do a whole lot there. Find something to do. Trust me, there's something to do. Straighten up a songbook on the way out. Pick up a piece of trash. You know, trip the kid running by you as they run down the hallway. No, don't do that. But we get to be a part of the work of God. You do. We all get to be a part. And God says, I know thy works. You say, it's not an important work. Yes, it is. There is no small work in the house of God. There is nothing small done in the name of the Lord. God says, I know thy works. And it says this, behold, I have set before thee, look at verse number 8, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Hey, this is the church of the living God. Amen? He says, I've opened a door, and he's opening light into a dark world. You understand? Opening light to a dark world where people say, I used to go to church. I've never been to church. I don't know what this is all about. And they come almost every Sunday. Someone's here and they look like, what do they say, a calf eye in a new gate. Like, what's going on here? And you see God working on their heart. And God said, I've opened a door. An open door. That's an opportunity that we get to be part of the work of God. But it's also an opportunity for people to hear the gospel here in Redding, California. That's important, isn't it? That in Redding, California, there's a gospel preaching church, and God said, I know thy works. And he said, I've set before thee an open door, no man can shut it. You have opened the door, there's a church, there's a window of time that God has opened up. Now, the church that God established will continue. It will continue, but we're not guaranteed. I've mentioned this many times before, but we're not guaranteed for Shasta Baptist Church to continue. We're not guaranteed another Sunday, another Wednesday, another week. We're not guaranteed that unless if we continue faithful in the work of God. We must stay faithful. God said, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. That God started the church, and Jesus started the church, and God's work will continue. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said to Peter, so thou art Peter, and upon this rock, what do you say? I will build what? My church. I will build my church. Jesus did not intend to be many churches, denominations, and all this. I was reading this week that people are criticizing our president for being too pro-Christian. Too pro-Christian and trying to protect Christian rights and liberties more than other denominations. Now I get it, that we need religion, we need freedom of speech and freedom of religion. I understand that. But they don't get upset when people are anti-Christian, are they? Right? They're not upset when people are anti-Christian and taking away our freedoms and our rights. They're only upset when it's too pro-Christian. There's too much freedom in the church. Well, I'm thankful for the freedoms that we have, whether or not the government says we have the freedom or not. God says that we do. Amen? We get to be part of the church. He said, it is my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is God's church, and we get to be part of the work of God, that God has opened a door and opened an opportunity to be a part of the work of God. We see here in verse number 8, and he says, for thou hast a little strength. I want to look at a few things that he compliments about this faithful church. And the Bible says they had a little strength. It was not strength of their own. It was strength in God. But you notice how he says a little strength. I find that interesting that he says a little strength. I don't know if I have a deep biblical analogy or explanation for that, other than God is reminding them that you're not strong on your own. It's not your strength. It's not your abilities. It's not how great you are. He says, you have a little strength, but God has all strength. Amen? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. If I do the work of God in my own strength, there's none there. But with God, I can have the strength to do the work of God each and every day. How many times have you come to do the work of God and you think, I can't do it? I can't teach it. I can't sing it. I can't play it. I can't do it good enough. God, would you help me? And God gives you strength to do his work. Amen? Because the strength, it's not about me. It's not about my strength, my abilities, my personality. If it is, then we're in trouble. And you're in trouble if it's about you and me and our strength. But it's about the strength of God. Think of David running after Goliath. And in comparison, David was nothing in comparison to Goliath. He was a trained warrior from his youth and 9'6" tall and all the armor. And man, he had everything in the spear. David had nothing, but he had his God. Amen? He had nothing. He had a little sling. Could you imagine 9.5 foot tall watching a little scrawny kid running at you? And he mocked him and laughed at him and said, I'm gonna feed you to the birds today. And he said, I don't come to you with sword and spear. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I come in you the name of my God. And if he didn't, Goliath should have trembled right there, thinking he's coming to me in the name of God. It's not about your strength, your abilities. It's about the God that you get to serve. And when God says, I have a task for you, I have a job for you, I have a need for you in the church, we get an opportunity to be a part of the work of God. I want to look at a few points tonight about how this church was faithful in a few areas that we can emulate to be faithful as well. The Bible says, a faithful man, who can find? Finding someone that's just faithful. You know this in the workforce, and you talk to people that are looking to hire and trying to keep someone there, someone that can show up for a job, do the work, just be faithful, just even the bare minimum. That would be one of the greatest employees, someone that could just be faithful, right? How much more does the church of God, how much more does the church need people that are just faithful? You say, I don't do anything. I just come to church every week. Thank you for being faithful. You see, I don't do anything. I just sweep the buses. Thank you for being faithful. I don't do anything. I just come and get the classroom set up before the teacher comes. Thank you for being faithful. I don't do anything. I just come and get the baptismal waters ready. Thank you for being faithful. And whatever it is, just being faithful in your spot for the Lord, being faithful. In Revelation 3:8, I want to look at a few areas where this church was faithful. Look at the last phrase. It says, thou hast a little strength and has kept my word. And has kept my word. What were they faithful to? They were faithful to the word of God. They were faithful to the word of God. They kept my word. How many churches today are still preaching the word? Right? I'll be honest. I've not visited, a single other church service in the Reading area. Not once. I have no desire. People are like, you should come. And I'm like, no desire. I'm not coming. You know, sometimes I think, I'd love to just watch online and see what they do over at Bethel. Someone tried to convince me how great it was. I was like, I don't want to get disgusted and be like the kid at the end of the row puking while he's singing. I can't do it. But what are churches doing that are not preaching the word? That they're not making big of the word of God. It's a lot of fellowship and a lot of singing and a lot of stuff. and then a little bit of an encouraging word, and then leaving. But there's not much about the Word of God. Shasta Baptist Church, may we be faithful to the Word of God. Not to change the Word. That's what many churches today are doing. Instead of being faithful to the Word, not a Word of God, the Word of God, they change the Word. Get a new Bible. Right? Change the message to fit what fits us for today. You realize that Bibles are constantly changing. They're constantly adding new Bibles. You can't keep up with them. And instead of churches keeping the Word, they're changing the Word. They're changing. They're getting a new Bible. Shasta Baptist Church, we don't need a new Bible. We have the King James Bible, the perfect, inspired, preserved Word of God in the English-speaking language that we're not changing because God's not changing it either. Every word of God is pure, the Bible says. Every single word. So we need an every word of God Bible, don't we? Every word of God. We don't need a new Bible, another translation that's easier to understand or read in some way. We need the Word of God. In today's society, we're so much about dumbing down the education. And so what are you doing? You're dumbing down the learner, aren't you? You dumb down the schooling, you dumb down the learner. That's why as America, we are falling way behind educationally to other countries because we're dumbing it down because we just want to pass them along. Instead of bringing the learner up to the education level, we bring it down. The same thing in churches today, right? Instead of gaining our knowledge and understanding in the Word of God, people change their Bibles because it's easier to understand to read. I want to read God's words, not man's words. Faithful to the Word of God. They didn't change the Word. They didn't hide the Word of God. They didn't put in the back and kind of sneak in a 2 to 5 minute message at the end and sneak in an encouraging thought. Churches that won't preach about hell. They won't preach about sin. They won't preach anything negative in the Bible. It's just an encouraging word on your way out. Just to feel good and pat them on their way out. Not hiding the Word. They loved the Word of God. Shasta Baptist Church, may we make big of the Word of God. Every Sunday school class, may you make big of the Word of God. I understand at the younger ages, they don't have an attention span for a 30-minute lesson in Miss Wheaton's class and our 3- and 4-year-olds and the little kids. They don't have the attention span for that. But may we not put more time into our game times and our fun times and our goof-off stuff than we do into the Word of God. Say, I can't keep their attention. Be creative. You know how creative you can be to sing a song that teaches a lesson and a game and a Bible story and pointing to the message to help the young people to learn the Word of God? Let's make big of the Word of God. On our buses, let's make big of the Word of God. In our Christian school, let's make big of the Word of God because that's why we're here, for the Word of God. If we're not, stay home, eat something good, watch something on TV and relax and take it easy. But we're here for the Word of God. Amen? Let's make big of the Word of God. The Bible says in Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and those that keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. Let's make big of the Word of God. In your homes, make big of the Word of God. It shouldn't be a shock when our kids come to church that they're being taught scriptural songs and memorizing verses and learning Bible stories. We should be reinforcing that at home as they come to church as well. And they should know the Word of God when they come here. Let's be faithful to the Word of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the Word. Let's make big of the Word of God. This is God's holy word. It's not man's words. It's God's words. Amen? Let's be faithful to the Word of God. Let's not re-explain the Word of God. Let's not try to get another version in there. Let's be faithful to the Word of God. We don't have Bible study groups at Shasta Baptist Church, but what we do have is Sunday school, Sunday morning service, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You're going to get a whole lot of Bible preaching and teaching at Shasta Baptist Church if you're faithful to come. You say, I don't know everything about the Bible. Guess what? I don't either. All right? and you come and I'll learn as you learn as well. Amen? But we're gonna learn the Word of God and teach and preach the Word of God until He comes, because that's what God has commanded us to do. We're not here for a social fellowships. I'm not against some food after the service. Amen? But we're here for the Word of God. Let's make big of the Word of God. First of all, they were faithful to the Word of God. Next, they were faithful to God's name, to the name of God. Look at the end of verse number 8. It says, "Thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name." They were faithful to God's word and they were faithful to God's name. Those that do not stay faithful to the Word of God end up preaching another gospel. You know that, right? You change your Bible, you change your message. You change the singing, you change your Bible, you change the message. It's a pattern. You can follow it easily. But they were faithful to the name of God. Isn't that encouraging? They were faithful to the name of God. They weren't changing things. And when you preach on the message, you preach on the gospel, and you're preaching about another God. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the message of the Bible when you start changing things. But they were faithful. They were faithful to the name of God. Aren't you thankful for the name of Jesus? Amen. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Isn't that incredible? The name of Jesus. Much of this world is not, a number of people in this world have never heard the name of Jesus. Never heard it. There's power in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Philippians 2 that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things on earth. The name of Jesus. They stayed faithful to the name of God. There's power in the name of God. Amen? There's power in the name of God. When the name of Jesus is preached or taught or used, there's power in His name. We're not changing that. We'll stay faithful to Jesus. Why? Because He's been faithful to us, hasn't He? He's been faithful. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's also salvation in the name of Jesus. We'll have our family fun day next week, and we have a lot of fun and things planned, but before we do any of that, we're preaching the gospel to this group that comes. We're going to pray. I hope you're praying. It's very important. People that come, and some of them, we kind of trick them into coming to a preaching service in a way. Say, we're going to have a lot of fun, but we're going to have some games and prizes, but we're getting ready for the preaching of the gospel. Have a clear presentation of the gospel. Why? So they can hear about Jesus. More important than having a fun time and liking us or loving our facilities, they need to hear about the name of Jesus. Why? Because in the book of Acts, it says, neither is there salvation in any other. I know people want to say, well, all the churches, they're just alike. No, they're not. Our religions, they're really similar. No, they're not. No, they're not. There is no other name under heaven, the Bible says, given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Only in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Don't be afraid to say the name of Jesus. People today want to kind of cower from your beliefs. Be faithful to God's name. Why? Because God's been faithful to you, hasn't He? If He's been faithful to you, we can be faithful to the name of God. They were faithful to God's name, but they were faithful to love God as well. This church of brotherly love, in verse number 9, the Bible says, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet." This group that they said they were Jews, they weren't hypocritical, said, "I'll have them worship at your feet." And the last phrase says this, "And to know that I have loved thee." Isn't that encouraging? This church has been faithful. Now, God loves everyone, but this church specifically, because they stayed faithful to the work of God, God said, "I want them to know that I have loved thee, that I've loved you." There's a special love that God has for those that stay faithful to Him. A special blessings that come on those that stay faithful to God and to His Word. Understand this, God loves His church. Ephesians says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." That God loves the church. Christian, today I want to encourage you with this, just a reminder that God loves this church. He loves this church. It's not a casual thing to Him. Just as a husband and wife, it's not a casual relationship. That's a commitment for life, till death do us part. And God said, "I love the church as husbands are to love their wives." and he gave himself for it. May we love our church as Christ loves the church. If God loves the church, so should we, right? If God loves the church, so should we. We should love our church. We should love Shasta Baptist Church. Now here's the thing. I love all gospel preaching, Bible preaching, independent fundamental Baptist churches. To be honest, I love a church that is at least preaching the gospel. All right? I'm not saying I agree with all the things and we're not joining them, but at least someone that is at least preaching the gospel. I can be thankful for that. But there's a special love I have for Shasta Baptist Church, like any other. My wife grew up here, been here for almost 20 years now. I love Shasta Baptist Church. Love Shasta Baptist Church. This is my church. I hope we don't take it as a casual thing. Well, I'll go to the church when I feel like it, and I'll go to another church when I feel like it. No, you get committed to a church. This is your church. Become a member at the church. Not just casually, but join the church. Be a part of the church. Serve in the church. This is the work of God. Not casually, but say, I love the church and I want to be a part of it. I love this church. I love the people of Shasta Baptist Church. Our church is a blessing. There's so many faithful people that pray and encourage and serve and help each other. I love the people of Shasta Baptist Church. We're constantly talking about you. Now, if you know that, in a good way, and, you know, praying for people and encouraging them, what can we do? Have we been checking on them? And I love Shasta Baptist Church, not just the buildings. I love the buildings of our church, but I love the people of our church even more. If the buildings were gone, we're going to find somewhere else to meet. And it's not going to be a coffee shop, all right? I love the people of Shasta Baptist Church because that's what makes Shasta Baptist Church unique. I don't know if you realize it, we have a unique church. I don't know how that began, but it began around 41 years ago with Pastor Johnson. And it's a very unique church in many ways. But I love the people of Shasta Baptist Church. I hope you have a love and a care for the people that you go to church with every week, that you notice when someone's here or not. You notice when someone is sick or in the hospital or hurting or has a need. Encouraging someone. Love the people of Shasta Baptist Church. Why? Because God does. God said, I want you to know that I've loved thee. I love the buildings that God has given to us. We have beautiful buildings that are bought and paid for by the blessing of God's people laboring to support and to give and to keep up the buildings that God has given us. Let's be faithful to keep up what God has given to us. I don't know if you realize how much work is done between services every week at our church to keep things clean and in order and working on it. You would have no idea unless you stop by and there could be parts laying around anywhere or ladders or something taken apart. And that's just Brother James alone, along with other people that come every week and volunteer their time to help to keep up the buildings that God has given to us to do his work. That we would be faithful to take care of what God has given to us. Why? Because God loves this church. He loves the people, the buildings, the work that is being done. We should love the ministries of Shasta Baptist Church. Amen? The buildings. You say, I've been doing this ministry for 30 or 40 years. You should love that ministry more than anybody else. It should never get old. Say, well, I've always done it this way, and I'm just going to show up and just kind of wing it. Let's not do that. Let's be faithful and give all of your heart, all of your efforts, all of your prayers to be faithful to love this church as God loves it. If God came and sat in your, Jesus Christ came and sat in your Sunday school class, would you teach it a little bit differently next Sunday? Oh, yeah. My hand would be up. Would you give it your all? Yes. Hey, every week, God says, I know that works. I'm watching. And I believe God's very encouraged by people that give their heart and their lives at Shasta Baptist Church. We should love what God allows us to do. The love issue changes everything, doesn't it? The love issue changes everything. You say, well, I guess I have to do it if no one else is going to do it. No. Say, I love my church. I love the students. I love the class. I love what I get to do. Then lastly today, they were faithful to wait for Jesus' return. And in Revelation 3:11, it says, "Behold, I come." What's the next word? "Quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take that crown." He says, "Behold, I come quickly." Jesus is coming again. Could be the last Sunday we have at Shasta Baptist Church. Could be the last week and Jesus calls us home and our work here is done. May we be faithful to work and to be ready and to wait for Jesus' return, because he's coming soon. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Stay busy, because Jesus Christ is coming again. Keep your eyes looking up, because he is coming soon. Keep your eyes looking for the Savior. He's coming again. Keep your hope in Jesus Christ, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus, of a great God and of our Savior Jesus Christ. Keep looking up, because Jesus Christ is coming again. Listen, it could be your last Sunday to teach that class, to sit in that seat, to talk to that person sitting next to you. It could be your last time to witness to that neighbor, to invite that coworker to come to church. It could be your last time Jesus comes or God takes you home. Either way, let's be faithful till God calls us home. Let's be faithful. Shasta Baptist Church, I believe we have a testimony of many people in our church just being faithful. No one has to drag you out to get you here. Some of you dragged yourselves out to get you here. Thank you for your faithfulness. But let's be faithful for God. Amen. Let's keep it right. If you love God properly, we'd be faithful, right? Say, "But somebody took my seat." Who cares? Let's be faithful to God. You say, "But some kid ran by me." Well, let's just be faithful for God. Let's just love God. You said, someone chewed me out for putting a flyer in their door. Just love God. Just love God and love the church and love the work of God. Why? Because Jesus Christ is coming soon. And it could be our last week. It could be our last opportunity. It could be the last bus route that you ever drove. It could be the last class that you ever taught, the last door that you ever held open. It could be the last week. Let's be faithful. Think, "Well, I don't know where I'm going to be next Sunday." You should be in church. Amen? I'm not saying Shasta Baptist Church is perfect, but I don't know another church in town that I'd rather go to. And if there was, I'd go there, and I'm not going anywhere else. Let's be faithful to the work of God. If you love God properly, you love the Word of God properly, you love the church of God properly, then you be faithful to God. Head bowed, eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? Jesus Christ, he loved the church and gave himself for it. If God loved